Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6 verse 10. It says a final word. Be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on all of God's armors so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the enemies, against all the tactic of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. So because, I tell you, because you want to follow Christ, the unseen world, the devil, the evil spirit in the unseen world are after you. They're after your children. They're after your joy. They're after your peace. They're after, they're throwing everything they have after you. And I want us to make that declaration again. This is not just a song. No weapon. I mean, we're singing it and I'm like, you know what? Yes. I'm inviting you to just keep repeating that. Because sometimes just by saying it, the word says, faith come by hearing. What do we hear? The word of the Lord. No weapon. And this morning, whatever strategy, whatever plan the enemy has over us, over our church, over my children, over your grandchildren, over our country, we stand in the presence of the Lord. We say, God, no weapon. And no weapon. God doesn't forget things, but we're gonna stand in agreement with what his word says. No matter what it is, no matter what the plan is, we are more than a conqueror. Let's just sing that one again.
There's no weapon formed against me shall prosper. No, it won't work. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. No, it won't work. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. What he said he would do, he will stand by his word, and he will come through. Oh, 'cause God will do what he said he would do, he will stand by his word, and he will come through. Oh, 'cause no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Yes, it won't work. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. No, it won't work. Against me shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. Oh, 'cause God will do what he said he would. will stand by His word, and He will come through. Cause God will do what He said He would do. He will stand by His word, and He will come through. Cause no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. No, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, we stand in the gap right now. We stand in the presence of the Lord, in Your presence. Father, we release the mighty angels that fight our battles. Lord God, we understand that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but we're fighting against the principalities in the air, the demons, the evil spirit Satan himself. So therefore, God, we stand in what Jesus has done on the cross to make a declaration. We remind in this place. Father, I stand in the gap for my wife. I stand in the gap for my children. I stand in the gap for the church. God, I declare and decree, I defeat and I rebuke all the work of the enemy over our lives. Father, just the fact that we find ourselves here in this place, the enemy doesn't like us. So that's why we invoke Your name. We hide ourselves in You, Lord God. The weapon of our warfare are not carnal, so we can't fight with the flesh. So we're using the mighty weapons available to us, God. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that even some of us are fighting thoughts in our minds, thoughts of discouragement, thoughts that brings us down, thoughts that makes us understand or hear that we can't make it, we can't do it, we will fail. We rebuke those thoughts in the name of Jesus. I take authority right now. I release good thoughts in our mindset. God, I release kingdom mindset, kingdom thoughts, kingdom thinking. In Jesus' name, Father, I rebuke any disease, any sickness the enemy would be just throwing at us, attacking us with just the spirit of, even with the spirit of discouragement. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Get out! I rebuke the spirit of discouragement. I rebuke the spirit of discouragement. The spirit of the Lord is the spirit of encouragement, the spirit of truth. It's a spirit of freedom. No weapon. No weapon. I rebuke the spirit of suicide. I rebuke the spirit of failure. Thank you, Father. Lord, we cover our children in such a world, in such a time where it's like it could be almost scary for our children. But Father, we entrust them into Your hands. We trust You. I trust You. I trust You. This is the time, you see, what we're doing right now, we're interceding. You know, we're using this song this time right now. The Bible says we don't have because we don't ask. The Word of the Lord says where two or three come together and pray, the Lord is in our midst and He's willing. So God, we release Your hands. We come to partner with You. We come to partner with You for what You want to do, even in Lynchstown, in this community, Lord God. We pray for the community. I don't know who in your family who needs prayer right now, but I would encourage you to just recite their name in the presence of God. Just pray for somebody right now. No weapon. Maybe you know somebody that is facing some hard trouble, a hard time. In Jesus' name, Father, no weapon formed against the country of Haiti will succeed. Father, we stand in the gap, even again for America. No weapon formed against the unborn. God, we pray for the unborn. Children, God, that people that are having abortion left and right, killing tons of babies. God, we stand in the gap. No weapon. May the hands, even the mindset from people in power that are just pushing that agenda to kill the unborn. God, we stand in the gap. We say enough. Father, we ask that the enemy will take his hands off our finance. In Jesus' name. Our health. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Our joy. Get off. Get your hands off. Thank you, Lord God. We love you in this place. Oh, thank you, Father. We thank you. Oh, Lord God, and we thank you for your promises. We thank you, Father, that you have, you know, it is your power, and we stand on your promises right now. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. May the enemy's hands be off our marriages. God, even we intercede for those people that are just being caught by the spirit of deception. We rebuke that spirit of deception, the spirit of deceit. You know, people are just, they're lost, they're confused. Take authority in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. It won't work. It won't work. Why? Because your name, Jesus, is more powerful than any other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Every mouth must confess. That's right. So that's why today we confess you are King. Lord, thank you for what you've done here. Thank you for what you're doing in here. Lord, we even pray for some people that are not here and that are battling some sickness, maybe cold, whatever they're facing at home. God, we ask that you touch them, heal them, restore them. We give you room in this place. We give you access, Holy Spirit. We love you, Father. Thank you. You do what you said you do. Thank you for your promises. Your promises are yes and amen. That's right. Yes and amen. We love you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And I pray in Jesus' name. And if you agree, you said amen. Thank you, Dan. Let's give God a round of applause because he deserves it. Thank you, Dan. Yes. That's it. This would be a good sermon. Man, I should have prepared that sermon. No weapon formed against us will prosper. But you have to take a stand. All right? So, well, it's a welcome back. Those of you that have been gone for a while, a couple weeks on vacation, it's good to see you. So, this morning I want to finish with my series on be intentional. But guys, the more I'm studying it, it's like onion, you know? It's like the more I'm studying about being intentional. I don't think I've ever preached a message like this before. I've never done something like that. But the Lord is teaching me a lot on being intentional. So hopefully I can finish it today. Be intentional. Open your Bibles with me in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Ecclesiastes. I know some people that this is one verse they don't really like. But I tell you, it is something for us to be reminded of. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. So there is a time for every season. Now open your Bibles again with me in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs 3, verse 5. I read, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Wow. What a verse. That's why I tell you, if you read the Bible, you know what to do. It says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. You know what trust is? Faith is the substance of things we know we have, but yet, do you see them? No. You know, trust God. Trust Him. Put all your hope in Him. Put all your trust in Him. From the bottom of your heart, don't try to figure out everything on your own. I tell you, how many of us here, we do our best to figure life out? If you're like me, of course, that's natural. But I tell you, this is the word of the Lord. Put your trust in Him. Stop trying to figure it out. But listen to God. Listen to His voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He is the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Hey, Mr. and Mrs. Know-It-All, please change your mindset. You don't know it all, and please stop assuming you know it all. See, if you want to be intentional every day, you need to get a clear upfront. You need to get clear and upfront about what you want to achieve and then take action. I talked to you last week about being intentional. If you are intentional and you don't act on your intentionality, it's just like those rats. They had the intention to get in the hole. Good intention, you need action for good intention to come into reality. You need action for your good intention to come to reality. Being intentional is a capability you can grow every day. So therefore, to move your life forward and make progress every day, being intentional about what is important to you is one. What is important to you right now? I talked to somebody yesterday. Because I'm calling people, okay? I'm being very intentional. When I came here, I mean, yeah, I tell some of the guys then and stuff, when I talk, I was like, you know, I feel like I'm starting a church. This is a church plant in Lansdowne Community Church. Vision, purpose, I love it. I love what's happening. And you should too. But you know what? When I came, we had some people that are not coming back. So as a shepherd, I'm calling them. I'm trying to find out, you know, so what's up? You know, are you okay? What's going on? And then one person says, you know what? Church hasn't been a priority for us. Right away. Just being honest. And I love their honesty. But it's like, church hasn't been a priority for us. Think about it. And then I ask the same question, but what are your priorities? We talked about it a couple weeks ago. What are some of your priorities? What are the things that are important to you? Is the word of the Lord important to you? It better be. I tell you one thing that's very important to me. Experiencing the power that raised Christ from the dead. I read the Bible, and I know there's enough power in the blood of Jesus, in the name of Christ. My personal relationship with Jesus will keep me strong so I can go through everyday troubles. Because I tell you guys, the enemy is after you. The enemy is after your relationship. Satan is constantly after your relationship with God, your relationship with people, your joy, your peace. So if church is not a priority, what is a priority? And we live in a society where right now people think they don't need God. They think they don't need God. The word of the Lord says in Matthew chapter 5, it says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Have you ever been broke? I hope so. Because I think that's one good thing that can happen in your life. It can keep you humble. In James, the word says, when you are humble, if you are poor, God raises you up and God gives you things. Do not put your identity or your self-worth on material possession. Do not base. Do not base your self-worth on material possession. Because I tell you, let's say I'm 43, 44. Yeah. Happy birthday, my man. Oh, yeah. By the way, let us all sing happy birthday to my man here. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Aaron. Happy birthday to you. Well, make sure you give him a hug, all right? So that's an order. Everybody here, before you leave, make sure you give Aaron a hug. We celebrate you today. You know, so being broke does something to you. If you've been there, I've been there. You feel humble. But then if you don't have the Lord, you could feel inferior. Because when we were broke, by the grace of God, I never felt inferior. Right? Why? Because I knew God's word. When I was growing up, my dad was the what they call the provider. My dad had a good job. My mom was the homemaker with six of us. I mean, growing up, I went to private school. I was a very smart boy. I had everything I need. But my mom and dad, they weren't doing good. So finally, when I was 16, they separated. So then what happened? It's like in a year, I used to eat every day. And then all of a sudden, I'm not eating. I'm hungry. I go days without eating. My school weren't paying because all of us were in private school. And I remember one day, it happened to me one day. I went down to the ocean. We live very close to the ocean. I went to the pier and I wanted to kill myself. I was probably 17, 18. Life was so hard. I'm like, man, I can't do this. I'm going to kill myself. But thank God, when I got in front of the water, I'm looking at the water. I'm like, no way. I love myself too much. I'm like, no way. But I'm crying. I mean, guys, I wanted to die that day. I wanted to die that day. I was depressed. Then I was just like, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. So I turned around. Went home, find a hole, stay in bed for a couple days. Didn't go to church. 3 weeks later, I went to church. I still think today that lady was an angel, maybe. Because I still can't find out in my mind who that person was. Just think about it. School starts in September, October back then. October, November, January, December, January, it was February. I stopped going to school because, you know, they would send you back home. So every time the person that comes to do check if the students are, they paid, every time they would come around, I would just like kind of, I had my eyes on that person so they wouldn't catch me and sent me home. Finally, I got caught. They sent me home. 3 weeks at home, crying, can't eat, you know, and I'm looking at my sisters. My mom is trying. I mean, we used to have everything, and now all of a sudden we had nothing. But my mom was a woman of faith. She prayed. She did whatever she could do with us. So finally, I went to church one day, and then I remember there's a lady. She's like, Ricardo, where have you been? I said, well, yeah, I'm here, I'm there. I'm discouraged, whatever. She said, the Lord laid on my heart to give you $300. Back then, $300 was a lot of money to pay enough for the school year. So God paid the school year. And I still can't, I don't know who that person is. Maybe I don't. So have you ever been humbled? Here in America, people think they have everything. Other places in the country, they think they have nothing. The Bible says the Lord is near the brokenhearted. That's why I'm going to keep telling you, stay desperate. Stay desperate for the Lord. Be intentional about searching the Lord. Make your life, your relationship with the Lord, a priority. You know why? Because the enemy wants to steal it. And the best way, I tell you, working is fine. We've talked about that, right? Working is good. You must work. You should have a job. If you don't eat, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. That's it. It's backwards if the government's just handing down money. It's backwards. I know all of you here, so I know you hard workers. But if you're out there, you're watching this later, if people are always giving you things for free, where is your self-esteem? Where is the sense of, yes, man, I worked for this. Yes. I sweat. It was hard. It was painful. But, man, I'm telling you, man, I'm cashing. That's the way it should work. That's the way it should go. So I said all this because I said being intentional should be very important. Being intentional about your relationship with the Lord should be very important. If you have small kids, teenagers, being intentional about making sure they have a personal relationship with the Lord should be very important. Now more than ever. I mean, think about it. Why aren't people coming back to church? Well, I can tell you. I mean, we will continue to have our service live, maybe. But when we set up our platform on Facebook and YouTube, thank God for them, for that platform. It's good to have, you know. But people should come back. But I understand we live in a society where people think, where they don't want it. But God is, there's something that's happening out there. People will, the scale will fall off their face. Then they will understand they need Jesus. That's why when we come together, come with the mindset to minister to the presence of the Lord. You remember that? Our focus here is the presence of the Lord. That's what we go after. You know, taking action on things that are important to you should be a guiding quality. Let's open our Bibles in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. Being intentional about your life. Being intentional about your relationship with the Lord. You know, in 2 Timothy, it talks about understanding the dangers of the last days. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 4. Paul said to Timothy, "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves. So therefore, you should be very intentional not to love yourself." I mean, let me reword that. Not to worship yourself. You should love yourself. But here, Paul's talking about in the last days, people will be on their throne. In the last days, it will be all about you, about me. Everybody, it's going to be about me, about what I want, about my right. Well, what about the other's right? About my respect? What about the other's respect? Huh? What happened to that? You should know this, for people will adore themselves. This is the word here, is they will worship themselves. They will worship their money. Like I said, you should work. If you don't work, you shouldn't eat. But do you know that money is one of the big idols in this country? Pretty much everywhere. People kill for money. You ask yourself, why in the world, how come How come somebody have so much money and they still want so much more? Well, I tell you, you call that greed. Huh? You're greedy. You just want more. So therefore, they're killing, they're stealing. You know, they're lying for more. Not only that, if they're not killing, stealing, the enemy is doing that with them. And I pray all of us here, you're doing your best to live debt-free. I think the only debt some of us should have is a house. Because you got to live in a house somehow. But you shouldn't have any other debt. If you don't have the money, don't buy it. Because the borrower is the slave of the lender. You can't sleep. You got to work so hard to pay all this stuff. You have this big house. You can hardly sleep in it. When you're sleeping, you're not at peace. And I look at the culture. I'm like, wow. They work 10-hour day, 6 days a week. Sunday morning, they're so pooped. They don't even have energy to play with their kids. And then they repeat. You think that's the plan of the Lord for his people? Of course not. And then you know what becomes their priority? Work, money. it's so simple to see. Oh, I don't have time for church. I don't have time for God. One day every tongue will confess. One day every knee will bow. One day, that day is coming. But the word of God says, blessed are those who choose to do it right now. I choose to do it. I choose to surrender. I choose to serve the Lord. That's my choice. As for me and my house, I teach my kids. As they grow older, of course, they got to make it their own. And I pray. I said, God, do whatever it takes. Reveal yourself to them. So they know in the last days, there will be difficult times. So when I hear the news about difficult times, you know where I go? I go here. I'm like, okay. Okay, God, give me strength. Lord, give me boldness. This is not the time for me to be scared or I'm afraid. This is not the time. This is the time for me to be, okay, God, this is your word. A couple of weeks ago, last week, there's always some kind of rumors in Haiti or somewhere in the world. There is a rumor that says there's going to be 3 dark days in Haiti. 3 days like where it's dark for 3 days. I mean, who comes up with that stuff? And then, of course, you have people from the church that are asking questions. I mean, people are afraid. You know, it's just like people panic over a hurricane. I mean, you should make sure that you're safe on a hurricane. But people go and buy a store because there is a hurricane coming. Because everybody wants to feel secure. When you know God's word, you always have a good temperature for the time you are in, for the season. Because this talks about it. That's why you should study God's word. I know some of you don't like to read, or you can't. I mean, you can read, but it's not your thing to read. But you know, there's audio Bible. There's tons of app. Listen to the Bible. Put the word in you. Because faith comes by hearing. And the more you hear God's word, the more your faith will rise, will build up. But the more you hear bad news, guess what? You're going to believe bad news. The more you listen to the world's news, you can believe the world's news. Know this, they will be boastful and proud. Do your best not to be proudful. Be humble. So guess what? I'm living my life intentionally to be a humble person. It's not, I mean, sometimes people think, you know, it's like it's a big deal. It's a choice. God created us with willpower. That's why we're not like the angels. God created the angels to bow. The angels has no options but to say, holy, holy is he. Holy, holy is he. That's it. Angels in heaven has no other choice. They have to. That's why for you and I, I have the choice. Everybody, God gives us the choice. You can choose to deny Him. You can choose to live your own life. You can choose to serve Him. That's what makes us like, right? The Bible says God created us like Him. And I tell you, there's nothing more powerful than a willing heart, a volunteer, right? Like a soldier. For you to be a soldier, right? To serve your country, you choose. That's what gives you the passion. Because you choose, hey, no matter what, I could die for my country, right? It's not about the money. I mean, it shouldn't be about the money. It should be about taking pride in serving my country. You should know this. This is the word of the Lord, 2 Timothy. Being intentional, that's what we're talking about. In the last days, people will be scoffing to God. Oh. This is the word of God. So I'm going to live my life intentionally so I don't become scoffing. Scoffing, or the word is ridiculous, I mean to mock sacred things, to mock the name of the Lord. We live in a society, that's what people do. So me, I'm very intentional. I don't curse. I don't use the name of the Lord in vain. I'm intentional. So the more intentional I live, the more intentional I am, then that becomes my nature. You know? So cursing, using the name of the Lord shouldn't be an accident, because I don't do that. Why? Because I choose. I'm living intentional. I'm doing my life intentionally. Disobedient. Do your best to not be disobedient. I mean, I'm in 2 Timothy. Do your best to be obedient to your parents. You know, and I know that's one big thing right now, the spirit, the what they call it, independent spirit. You should be independent. You should grow up, find a job, get out of your mom's house or your dad's house when you can, you know, get a job. I tell you, if you have a 30-year-old living at your house, you're still paying for their phone. I tell you, it's your fault. It's your fault. Even if you can, don't pay for it. Get them to get a job. And then, if they struggle, you give them a push. Oh, my dad's got a lot of money. My mom's got a lot of money. Guess what? That's their money. It's not your money. Well, of course, it is your inheritance. It is yours. But guess what? You got to create yours. I want to see my son going for work. Going after it, and then I'll help him. And he knows everything I have is his. I'll do my best to support him. But guess what? Do your best to obey your parents. Young teenagers that are here, obey your parents. Be intentional about respecting your dad, respecting your mother, respecting your grandparents. Even for us growing up, if your parents are still alive, you do your best to honor them. You do your best. Now remember, I see it happening, right? It's like when you were a kid, you know, your mom and dad, they take care of you. And as our parents gets older, we become like, mom, come on, you can't do that. It's okay. Now, mom, dad, if you're here and your kids are really taken care of, chill, okay? The role reversed, okay? It's all right. Parents, listen to your kids as well, your grown-up kids. Be intentional to allow them to take care of you. Allow them to, guess what? When they tell you, Dave, you can't climb an 80-foot ladder, it's for your own good. Because me too, I think, I think we can do it. Yeah, let's go do it. No. Allow them to take care. You see how it works? And the Lord gives us families so we can take care of one another. Don't you love God's word? I continue to read. It says, they will consider nothing sacred. So therefore, I'm going to live my life intentional when it comes to sacred things. The word of the Lord is sacred. The word of the Lord is sacred. Do you own a Bible? You should own, I mean, don't have it in nice bookshelf. Your Bible should be something very dear to you. You should have seen the Bible I bought last month. Because I want something very large print. So I went online and I bought me a large, extra large print Bible so I wouldn't have to use this, all right? So of course, but then, you know me, I went and I choose, I didn't read the details. So, guys, the Bible was this big. So I'm thinking, I'm imagining I'm coming to church here with this big Bible right here, you know. Yeah, I think the Bible was this wide. Actually, it was about this wide, you know. And then we thought, Kendra and I and the kids, we talked about it, like, no, let's send it back. So I sent it back. I love the Bible. I love the word of the Lord. Because it's sacred. You know, we give our kids everything. But make sure they own a Bible. Make sure they understand the value in reading the Bible. Even your friends, guess what? The worst they can do with it is put it in a corner. But still give them a Bible. In the last days, people will take nothing sacred. Huh? They will slander. They will be unloving, unforgiving. Be intentional about forgiving others. Choose to forgive. Choose to release. Of course, you're going to remember the hurt. But I choose to release. I choose to forgive. I choose to love. They will slander others and have no self-control. Be intentional about self-control. Be intentional about self-control. I've never heard of such a thing about a piece of cake that jumped from the plate to your mouth. Has it happened? It has? Really? You and I need to have a serious talk up later. Self-control. Self-control. You know, we can turn the TV off. We can choose to love. We can choose to forgive. I can choose to be good. I can choose to be bad. There's a choice. I can choose to stop smoking. Isn't that crazy? Because God gives... how terrible. I was talking to a friend, good friend of mine. You know, some people, they've got that chewing problem. I've never chewed. And I don't know what it's like, but I hear it's addicting. But then I'm thinking, my friend and I, we're having a conversation. I was like, why do you chew? Because I see it's ruining your teeth, okay? I mean, I'm like, when you have nice teeth, of course, you want to smile, right? When you take care of your teeth, you don't have what they call it, what's the word? Low self-esteem. If you know your teeth are clean, you don't have any problem smiling, right? But you know some people, they want to smile, but because they think and they know they don't have nice teeth, they don't smile. Or they do like this. So I'm talking to him, I'm like, well, do you know that stuff will eat your gum? He says, yes, I know. I said, why do you do it? He says, I know. He says, I don't know. I just do it. And I try to get rid of it, and I can't. So I said, well, then that owns you. So you're telling me that thing you're doing has more power over you than you have power over it? I said, well... I said, I know you're stronger than that. I wonder what's going on in your mind. Because we all are stronger than that. Nothing is more powerful than your willpower. So you're telling me you can't quit or you don't want to? Where there's a will, there's power. Have you ever think about that? I know there's a process. People get addicted to some stuff, and it's like it becomes even the withdrawal they go through, it's crazy. Sometimes you might have to take them to a rehab. You know, I understand all those things. I'm not saying I don't understand that. But what I'm talking about is God gives us the willpower. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. That's why for years we try to do things with our manpower, human power. There's no result. There's no result. So being intentional, amen, amen, George. They will be cruel and hate what is good. So be intentional to love what is good. Be intentional to hate what is evil. They will betray their friends. Be intentional to not be that way. They will be reckless. Be intentional to not live like that. Be puffed up with pride. Be intentional to not be like that. And to love pleasure rather than God. Be intentional to love God more than pleasure. They will act religious. Oh, this is it for me right there. They will act religious, but will reject the power that could make them godly. You see, that's the problem. That's what makes the church weak. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
That's right. Can I have a better witness? That's right. I'm reading it again. In the last days, people will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. And that's why this generation especially, the millennials, they're like, well, we don't want anything to do with church. Because you have a bunch of people, you have a bunch of religious people, but yet when you look at their life, they're not godly. They're not following God. They don't know how to love. Remember, it is not God's judgment that leads you to repentance. It's God's love that led you to repentance. I mean, how would you like it? Somebody to tell you, well, you're gonna, if you don't follow me, I'm gonna shoot you. I mean, of course, it's like, well, I wanna live, and I'm gonna follow you. It's not my will. But if you know someone wants to give you life, wants to make your life better, that's the gospel. Jesus wants to give us life. He wants to make us better. So therefore, man, I want that. I want to follow him. That's why I'm encouraging you again today to be intentional about not being religious. But be godly. A godly person is someone who values holiness. You value people. You value relationship. A godly person is someone who accepts people where they're at. See, we can't change people. If we could, we would stop right here, right? I would stop right here. Because sometimes you're like, man, I could just change you. But we can't change ourselves. We have to surrender our mind and our will to the will of the Holy Spirit. Stay away from people like that. You know, I want to read another verse before I end. It says James in James chapter 2, verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says they have faith but does not have works? Can that faith save them? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you said to them, go in peace and be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? Also, faith by itself, if it doesn't not have works, it's dead. Just like being intentional without an action following it is worthless. So today, please continue to take the steps. You know, what are some of the simple ways to be intentional? First thing, start right now. Start right now. You heard me. If you didn't hear it, go listen to it again on the website. Be intentional. Start right now. What are some of the things you need to be intentional? And I'm going to charge you with the same message. Keep speaking intentionality on your in your friend's life, in your neighbor's life, everybody's life. The more I'm studying this, I realize, man, you know what? People don't live their life intentionally. Because when I live my life intentionally, I have a purpose. I know where I want to get to. So I make steps towards making getting there. Number two, make simple plans. You know, write it down. Maybe you didn't write things down right now, but later in your devotion or tomorrow, write things down. What are some of the things you need to, what are some of the behavior you need to change? What are some of the steps you need to take towards living an intentional life? Number three, talk to someone. Find an accountability partner. That's why we have home groups. If you can, if you don't have time to go to a home group, find somebody. I'm available. Talk to me. Call me. Email me. I'm here for you. Find someone. Say, you know what? Find someone you can trust. Say, you know what? This is what I'm dealing with. This is where I need to be accountable. Number four, know how to and continually daily preach the gospel to yourself. I like this. Preach it to yourself. Accept the word of the Lord. Last week we were studying in our home group, Mark chapter 4. You know, when you plant the seed, you receive the word. You know, four types of ground, but the fourth one, receive the word. They accept the word. When you receive the word, when you receive the gospel for yourself, you will bear fruit. And I'll leave you with this. I ask Dan to come up to a couple more songs with us. St. Francis said it. It's a quote. He says, preach the gospel always in good and bad times. If necessary, use word. Oh, I like that. If necessary, use words. So God give us all everything we need to live a godly life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word today. Father, once again, we ask that you would forgive us for all the times we've missed it. For all now. Lord, I thank you for the season that in the past 3 weeks I've been talking about being intentional. And I thank you for the direction you're leading us as a congregation to be intentional. I pray for those that are still at home, that haven't returned. Maybe they're discouraged or maybe they haven't been intentional about their relationship with you. Lord, I ask that you have mercy and lead them to the right path. Thank you for your word today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.